thrice told tales. A collection of 6 radio plays based on the tales, themes, and ideas of the 19th century writer Nathaniel Hawthorne, set in the contemporary world of the 1980s and dramatized by Charles Tidler. Rappaccini's Daughter.
Ah, ecco, signore. This is the room. You see, a large room with lots of fresh sunlight. Very much sunlight.
And dust. Very much dust.
Come, signore. Put your head out of the window and you will see as bright and cheerful a day as you have left in Naples.
You say so, ma...
Madonna mia, signore. Do you find this old mansion so gloomy?
I cannot quite agree that the Paduan sunlight begins to compare with southern Italy. What? Does the garden and the greenhouse below belong to the house?
Santa Maria, signore, no. Heaven forbid. No, the garden is cultivated for scientific experimenting by the famous Dottor Professor Giacomo Rappaccini, who, I imagine, you must have heard of even as far away as Naples, no?
Si. He's the scientist at the center of the nuclear winter controversy, isn't he?
It is said that he distills his plants into medicines that are as potent as a charm. Often, you may see the signor dottor at work, and perhaps the signorina, his daughter, gathering the strange flowers that grow in the garden. So, signore, the room is satisfactory?
No. I mean, see, the room is fine. Perfect. Exactly what I was looking for. I'll take it.
But no smoking, no drinking, and no visitors after 9 o'clock in the evening. Ha capito?
Si, very well. I can understand. My habits will adapt without any trouble. After all, I am in Padua to pursue my medical degree, not to be decadent.
And the signore will be dining in or out this evening?
In. Out. I mean, to say that I have an engagement with Signor Pietro Baglioni.
Uh-huh. The learned professor of medicine in the university.
Si, an old dear friend of my father. I have a letter of introduction.
You are a most fortunate young man, signore. Let me know if there is anything that you need. Good afternoon, signore.
Si, afternoon. Splendid fair stranger, the human sister to the flower, as beautiful as the richest in your father's green and purple garden. More beautiful even. But I tremble, I...
Beatrice!
Rappaccini!
Sì, papà?
She speaks, and I can barely breathe.
Are you in the garden? But I need your help. Please, hurry.
Coming, papa.
Where is she going? I can't quite... Ah, the rich perfume of the garden. Or is it the scent of she who lives there? Oh, it is the breath of life.
Giovanni Visconti, we must share another glass of Tuscan wine.
Grazie, signor Baglioni. Grazie.
To your father. May his son and his joy be one.
May the world become wise by emulating the kindness and the generosity of Signor Baglioni.
Grazie, grazie. If life could be lived through the amber dregs of a crystal wine glass, eh? Alas, the real world is a bugbear.
Well, perhaps not, if the theories of Dr. Rappaccini bear fruit. I said perhaps not.
I heard what you said, Giovanni. Ill would it become a professor of medicine to withhold due and well-considered praise of a scientist so eminently skilled as Rappaccini. However, I should have to shackle my conscience were I to permit, without the strongest warnings, a worthy youth like yourself to imbibe erroneous ideas respecting life and death on this planet.
Mi dispiace, professore. I was but innocently trying to make a joke, a pun, a trifle.
The nuclear winter nightmare is not, my young friend, a joking matter.
Mi dispiace, most learned dottore.
Nor is it the idle concoction of ivory tower eggheads stuffed with straw.
Si, I know that, but I...
Good. The theory is based upon the data of a computer model which rigorously examines two factors: the natural laws of the universe and the impact of a global thermonuclear war.
Dr. Rappaccini claims to have created a whole family of plants with the ability to survive and to thrive in a nuclear winter environment.
That's nonsense.
Well, how do you know that? Perhaps he is on to something no one else has ever dreamed of.
The truth is, Dr. Rappaccini has as much science as any member of the faculty.
With perhaps one single exception, eh? Professor Baglioni?
Rappaccini operates beyond the morality. He would sacrifice human life, his own among the rest, or whatever was dearest to him, for the sake of adding a grain of mustard seed to his accumulated knowledge.
And yet, most honored professore, is his not a noble spirit? Are there many men capable of so spiritual a love of science?
Mannaggia, God forbid.
Most honored professore, give credit where credit is due.
Now and then, it must be admitted by even his harshest critics, he has effected, or seemed to effect, a most marvelous and startling phenomenon. But how much the work of mere chance, and how much...
If plants can survive a nuclear winter, perhaps a species of some new kind of animal can too. Perhaps, as well, a new kind of humanity. Rappaccini is the true hero of our age. He has created hope and joy and security where before was only doom and gloom.
Giovanni, listen to me. In the event of a global nuclear war involving less than half the arsenal of the superpower, all human system become vaporized gas molecules. Hai capito? All civilization becomes a raging firestorm. For months, perhaps years, chissà, a winter regime of black rain, black sky, black sun would prevail over the radioactive shroud of Mother Nature.
There could be survivors. Rappaccini says...
Any survivors could only exist in a permanent state of psychological coma. Capisci? Your hope, Giovanni, would be severe cold. Your joy, it would be rampant disease. Your security would be the hideous, the ugly, the unthinkable. Forgive me, my outburst, Giovanni Guasconti. This matter touches my heart and soul to the quick.
No. Forgive me, my ignorance, Signor Baglioni. I have, after all, come to Padua to learn, not to teach the most worthy professori.
Well, and one of our duties, certainly, is to avoid teaching the younger generation of a philosophy of life which is hopeless and impotent. I myself am involved in research to perfect a drug which would make bone marrow transplants unnecessary. At the moment, the surgery is the only hope for advanced radiation sickness.
If I may attempt once more a bit of humor, there is one hope and joy of Rappaccini which even you would not consider hideous nor ugly.
Being?
He has a daughter.
So, Giovanni's secret is out, eh? You have heard of this daughter, whom all the young men in Padua are wild about, though not a half a dozen have ever seen her face. I know but little of the Signorina Beatrice. It is said her father has instructed her deeply into his research, and as well as being young and beautiful, she is already qualified for the chair of a full professore.
No.
Sì. Perhaps Rappaccini has his eye on mine, huh? Tell me, Giovanni Guasconti, have you met the Signorina Beatrice?
Grazie, the patron saint of poor scholars. Bless you.
Signor Giovanni.
Signor Elisabetta, good to see you. Here, let me carry your shawl.
Oh, grazie, signore. Che la Madonna la...
What lovely flowers.
Fresh cut today. Oh, what have you been up to this morning? Nosing your books? Earning your laurea, eh?
I have been to the Scrovegni Chapel to view the frescoes by Giotto. No door opens upon an object of more beauty in all of Padua. Magnifico!
But I know one. It is the private entrance into the garden.
What? Do you mean Rappaccini?
Sì, into the doctor's garden, where you can view all his strange shrubbery.
But why? Has Rappaccini been talking to you about me?
Never you mind. Many a young man in Padua would give a whole month's allowance to be admitted among those flowers.
Show me.
Flowers, for I am weak and ill from the common air. Oh, give me a flower, my sisters, to place beside my heart. Who's there? Who is it?
Signorina, here. Per favore. Take this fresh-cut bouquet of pure and healthful flowers. Wear them for the sake of Giovanni Guasconti.
You are a connoisseur in flowers, signore. Grazie. It is not surprising, then, that my father's rare collection has tempted you to take a closer look. He has spent a lifetime in their cultivation. And this garden is his world.
I am told that you know almost as much as your father. If you would stoop to be my teacher,
I should quickly rise to the head of the class.
You hear idle rumors, signore. Believe nothing of me, save what you see with your own eyes.
No, signorina. You demand too little of me. Tell me to believe nothing but the words on your lips.
You have your wish. The words of Beatrice Rappaccini are as true as the depths of her heart. Those you may believe.
And you can believe me, too.
I think, then, we have become friends. Tell me, Giovanni. What is life like in Padua?
Padua? But you live in Padua.
What is it like?
Beatrice!
My father.
Wait. First, let me pick one of these flowers as a token.
Don't touch it. Not for your life. It's fatal.
But I saw you pick one.
Beatrice! What do we say? Are you in the garden?
I must go.
Your bouquet.
Beatrice, very subito.
What is happening here? These flowers were fresh cut, with the morning dew still upon them. But now, moments in your hands, there's straw.
Beatrice!
Goodbye, signore.
Goodbye?
Arrivederci.
Arrivederci. Arrivederci. After the first interview, a second was inevitable, and a third and a fourth, until a meeting with Beatrice in the garden is no longer an incident in my daily life.
Come down, Giovanni. Come down.
But the whole space in which I might be said to live.
Come down, Giovanni. Come down.
I'm coming. I'm coming. Beatrice.
You've come. I'm so happy.
Here I can breathe. Here with you I can live. And breathe. Blessed are all simple emotions, be they dark or bright. It is the lurid intermixture of the two that produces the illuminating blaze of the infernal regions. For you.
You're giving me your poem?
With your permission, of course.
Grazie, Giovanni. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Is it love? But the question is absurd, for I have never so much as touched her. And if I try, she gives me such a look of horror and shrinks away into the garden, leaving me alone with the half-mad, half-wild thoughts that boil in my brain.
Signor Giovanni, aspetta. Stop, my young friend.
Good day.
What? Have you forgotten me? Madonna, I should believe so if I were as changed in 2 months as you. Ma che è successo? Are you ill?
I know who you are, professore. No, I am not ill. I have exams tomorrow. Now, let me pass.
Did I not grow up with your father? Shall his son pass me like a stranger on the street?
Quickly then, professore. Can't you see that I am in a hurry?
Look. Over there, in front of the tobacco kiosk. Do you recognize the old man standing there?
Which one?
The one staring at you, Rappaccini.
I don't know him. Per favore.
Wait. He knows you. I know that look of his. You are the subject of one of his experiments. Ah, I will stake my life on it.
Will you make a fool of me? Let go.
Patience, patience. Ah. You have fallen into fearful hands. Tell me, Giovanni, what has his daughter to do with all this?
Professore, good night.
Giovanni Guasconti, aspetta!
Stop!
Hey, now. I was only trying to steal a little kiss from my sweetheart. Nothing wrong with that.
No.
So, you're not to be touched without a glove.
See.
Wait a minute.
I beg you. If you persist, Giovanni, I shall be forced to banish you from the garden. Favore, be my friend and keep your distance.
All right. All right. Who is it? Go away.
An old friend of your father. Open up, Giovanni.
What? What do you want?
Oh, my God, Giovanni. Ma, what's happened to your hair? It's all fallen out.
I've a touch of mononucleosis.
Chills, a fever, a cough. How's your appetite?
What do you want, Baglioni?
Bene, listen. I have been reading an old classic author recently. And I came across a story which I thought might interest you.
Well, what is it?
An Indian prince sent a beautiful woman as a present to Alexander the Great. And what especially distinguished her was a certain rich perfume in her breath, richer than a garden of Persian roses. Alexander fell in love with her at first sight. But before he could take her off to his bedchamber, a certain wise physician discovered a terrible secret.
And what was that?
That this woman had been nourished with poisons since her birth. Her whole nature was so imbued with them that she herself had become the deadliest poison in existence. Huh? Hey, isn't that a marvelous tale?
I marvel how a professore of the university finds time to read such childish nonsense.
Doubtless, the fair and learned Signorina Beatrice Rappaccini must minister to her patients with draughts as sweet as a maiden's breath.
You don't know her?
I know the wretched girl far better than you, I think.
You are wrong.
Giovanni, you should be in a hospital.
I'm fine, Professore.
No, you're not fine, Giovanni. You are a very ill young man, suffering. Oh, I shudder to say it. From the dread hematopoietic syndrome. Here, if you will not go immediately to the hospital, take this bottle of medicine. It is as yet untried, but may in your case work as an antidote.
Hematopoietic syndrome?
Radiation sickness.
Give me breath, dark flowers. Give me your rich perfume.
Oh, Giovanni. I was afraid you wouldn't come back again.
You poisonous slut.
Giovanni! You're hurting me. Let go.
You have filled my veins and my lungs with poison, disease, and annihilation. Now let's seal it with a kiss. A last embrace of unspeakable hatred. And so die.
No. Let go. I did nothing to you, Giovanni. Perhaps my father... I only wanted to have one true friend.
Cursed to live in absolute hell with you.
I dreamed only to love you. After your words of hate, you can do nothing more to me.
This is madness. If we must be cruel to one another, who is there left to be kind? Here, I have an antidote. Let's drink together and be rid of our disease.
Give it to me. I will drink it. You wait until we know what happens.
Beatrice, ma dove sei? Are you in the garden?
Over here, dottore. Dottore.
Ah, ecco. My children of the indestructible garden. My lovely children against whom no earthly power can ever harm nor destroy. You stand above the common herd of humanity, as the gods stand above the heavens.
Dottore!
Ah, welcome, my son, into the sanctuary of my supreme science. And how is your garden bride?
Rappaccini!
The antidote.
Rappaccini! Dove sei?
She's dead.
Rappaccini!
Oh,
Beatrice.
So, this is the upshot of your experiment. Hai visto? Sei soddisfatto?
Che peccato.
That was Rappaccini's daughter, based on a tale by Nathaniel Hawthorne and adapted for radio by Charles Tidler. The cast included Stefania Ciccone, Chris Rosati, Annabelle Kershaw, Natino Ballantoni, and Jim Crescenzo. The theme music was by George Ryan. Rappaccini's Daughter was produced and directed in Vancouver by John Giuliani with the assistance of Dagmar Kafanka. Technical engineering was by Gene Lovrock and sound effects by Joe Da Silva. Be sure to tune in next week when we'll be presenting another tale by Nathaniel Hawthorne called The Headless Clown.